from Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you so much, David, and great having you all listening to our program today on the weekend edition of Life Change. I'm so glad that many of you sent us notes and emails about listening to the programs, and it's such a blessing, and we're delighted that our program now goes to many areas. Especially, I'm excited about the East Africa connection, where it goes there, and all of the English-speaking nations in East Africa have the opportunity to hear our broadcast. And it's a blessing to me, it's a blessing to our foundation board here, and it's a special blessing, I think, also to know that the gospel is getting out. As you know, on Saturdays, we have guests come in, and they talk about various issues. Sometimes we have Bible teaching. Often we have somebody who's written a book that has been a blessing to people. On a regular basis, we have a couple that come in here regularly, and one of them is my good friend, Pastor Bob Kadlecek. And, you know, Pastor Bob, I was thinking, as you have been on here, we've never really heard your testimony. We want to hear what life is like for you in the Christian faith. And so if you're up to that, we want to hear about your faith. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But first of all, how are you doing?
I am doing good. Yeah, I have three kids out of the house, and then I have one unemployed living at home still, but he's 13, so.
I've got four children too, and we have grandchildren, a lot of grandchildren come in, and wow. I love the old story. We love seeing the headlights when they come, and the taillights when they go is also a good thing.
Yeah.
The parents come and get them, and then we can spoil them. That's how that works.
That's right.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about your life, Pastor Bob, today. I really look forward to this. I look forward to hearing about it. Tell us how you accepted the Lord.
My mom was saved as an adult and then met my dad and really started to grow spiritually at a church in Johnson City, New York, First Baptist Church in Johnson City. And I remember in Sunday school, it was around Easter, and I was 5 or 6 years old, and the teacher was explaining, you know, the death of Jesus and how he died for us. And it just clicked in my mind for the first time. Oh, this, you know, I'd heard the story before. I believed it was true, but it just clicked in my mind. I need to do something about this. I hadn't considered that this actually means I need to respond. And so I prayed after class with, I think her name was Mrs. Shoemaker, and ran up to tell my mom. And you know, later on in life, about when I was 12, on my own at home, I prayed again because I wondered, did I really understand when I was 5? I'm not sure. So I kind of did that to make sure. And some people struggle with their assurance of salvation all their lives. And it's not necessarily because they're unspiritual. It's just one of those temptations and struggles that Satan uses in their lives. And for whatever reason, I never really did. By the age of 12, I was confident of what Jesus had done for me and that I really did believe. And it wasn't a problem. And, you know, I share this partially to help people to not be ashamed of their story. Because some people are like, well, my salvation testimony is boring. You know, you think it's more exciting to say, you know, I was, you know, in in the mafia, and I was doing drugs and smoking. And then at the age of 5, I accepted Jesus. I don't think we need to be ashamed of our stories, because it's exciting when a kid comes to Christ, because you avoid so much trauma and potentially baggage when you start following Jesus when you're young. A little while ago, I spoke at one of our trainings for our Sunday school workers and children's ministry workers at our church. And they were incredibly encouraged for me to get up there and say, you know what? I am a pastor. I am a Christian because I had a children's ministry worker talk to me about Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm here today. And what you do is so incredibly important. And so I would just encourage people, whatever your story is, it's a great story of how God has worked in your life. And don't be ashamed of it. And don't think you need to spice it up or something. Everybody's story is a great story.
Yeah. When I'm around you, Pastor, I always feel like you're really excited about being a pastor in the ministry. That's how I feel. I've been in the ministry many, many years. And people have asked me different times, well, what would you have done if you didn't do this? I don't have any idea. I've never thought about it. I mean, I've been in different areas of ministry. You know, I've been involved with education and other things, but I've always been a preacher and loved being a pastor. And I think that's the way you look at it. How did you become a pastor? What were the events that brought you to that point?
You know, I have to agree with you. There are some pastors that are whiners and just kind of negative. And it is refreshing to be around people like you and so many the pastors here at Bridgewater. In fact, all of them, you know, it's like, man, I get to be on the front row of seeing God work in people's lives. And yeah, there's annoying things, but that's true of every job. And so I am really thankful that God called me and gave me gifts to be a pastor. And I would not have picked that on my own. When I was in about 10th or 11th grade, my youth pastor, Dave Michener, came up to me and he said, Bob, have you ever considered being a pastor? And I was like, no, like, why would I do that? And I thought that because I wasn't anything like the two pastors I knew. Dave Michener was this life of the party. He had all these amazing life stories about all sorts of cool things. And of course, I was 15, 16 years old, I had no stories. Like, I had very little life experience, and I wasn't the life of the party. And then my senior pastor was this, you know, such studied and you know, together, you know, just serious man. And I just wasn't them. And I actually went to Bible college with the idea of, hey, if after 1 year this doesn't work out, I'll go be a math teacher, or I'll go do something else. Because I didn't think I was cut out to being a pastor, but I realized, 18, 19 years of age, my freshman year of college, that there's all sorts of different kinds of people that God uses as pastors. And so I try to do this myself and say to people, hey, have you ever considered becoming a pastor? And usually I get the same response that my youth pastor got, which is no. But it's helpful to do that and let someone just think about it and stew on it. And sometimes those individuals come back later and say, no, man, God wants me to be a teacher, or God wants me to be a small business owner. But other times, young men and even middle-aged men that I've talked to will come back and say, you know what, maybe I could be used in that way by God. So,
yeah, that's a great testimony. I remember years ago, Pastor Bob, I was doing television, and somebody at the television, one of the executives, came to me and said, we have really been thinking about asking you if you want to consider being one of our newscasters. This is a pretty big organization. And I said, no. And he said, well, why not? I said, because I'm called to be a pastor. But as I drove away, I thought to myself, why would I want to give out all this bad news when I've got all this good news? And it really dawned on me that that's just not something I was cut out to do, but pastoring certainly is. That's where God called me. You're listening into Life Change. This is our weekend edition with Pastor Bob Kadlisikon. I say he's a guest, but he's really part of the family here with us. And I'm glad you're listening in. This is Dino Padron speaking to you from Florida. Here are some letters that we just received recently. One is from Pakistan, from a pastor. He watches our Facebook programs on a regular basis, the posts, the chapels that we do, and he thanks us for them. And he is just, as be encouragement to you, Pastor Bob, he has just entered into the ministry, and he's very excited about what God is doing there. Here's a gift from Virginia about a faithful follower of this program. His granddaughter is sending our ministry $180. His granddaughter, who I believe is a teenager, to go to the work of the pastors in Myanmar. And we're so thankful for that. And here's a letter from South Carolina from a friend of ours who's a very faithful follower, sending us a check for $2,000 and saying, use it where you wish in the ministry there. So we're thankful that many of you write in. And really, all you need to do is go to my email, dinopadron@gmail.com. And many of these letters come in through snail mail, but you just go to Dino Padron, DinoPedrone, and you can simply send us whatever you'd like to send there as far as notes. And you know, we have PayPal and other ways of sending funds, but we are thankful so many people are listening into this program, and we want to be a blessing to you. That's we want to help you grow your faith, and that's what this is about. Pastor Bob, what life events have helped shape you spiritually?
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, a lot of times when we have new small groups starting, we tell people, just have everyone, different people do this on on different weeks, to go around and say, what are the three most life-changing events that you've gone through, and who are the three most life-changing people in your life? And you really get to know people well when people share at that level. And probably the biggest spiritual impact people in my life was, number one, my parents, my mom and dad. I used to think they were normal, but the older I get, the more I realize to have a mom and a dad that loved each other, that were faithful to each other, and that loved the Lord, like, that was rare. And they weren't perfect. And, you know, my dad never really punished me, I think one time, and it was really kind of wimpy. So it wasn't a perfect childhood, but just having that faithfulness and that lived out Christianity. I was in a men's group recently, and there's eight men in the group, and we were all talking about how all of us, when we were kids at some point, were forced to go to church. And four of us thought it actually was good, and four thought it was bad. And so we were asking questions like, what made the difference? And it was a stark difference. The four that were forced to go to church, who thought it was good for them, we all said our parents lived it. It was real in their lives. And the four who were forced to go to church and they hated it and they thought it was bad for them spiritually, none of their parents lived it. Some of them even just dropped them off at church and didn't go themselves. Others, they had no, like, that was church, and then they lived completely different the rest of the week. And so that was a huge impact on me spiritually, that I was forced to go to church, just like I was forced to go to school. And you know, we force children to do all sorts of things. But because I saw this was real in their lives, it really made a big difference. And then my youth pastor, Dave Michener, again, same thing, just showed me. I mean, at one point, one of the teens in our youth group was homeless, and he just took this guy into his home and had him live with them for a while. And then they had a child after trying to have kids for a long time, and he was mentally handicapped, and just seeing him just live what he was teaching us day in and day out was really powerful. And then friends. This is interesting. I went to a Christian school growing up in high school, and four of the 13 boys in my high school class, there was another, 12, 13 girls, but four of the 13 boys in my high school class became pastors. And people might say, what are the chances of that, that like a quarter of your class would be pastors? And I think it's higher than you would think, because iron sharpens iron. And one of those friends, Steve, really helped each other. And we went to college together, and we were roommates together. And we're both still pastors in different states. But You know, your friends very much do determine the quality and direction of your life. And there's no friend that impacts you more than your spouse if you get married. And so my wife, Becky, huge shaping of me spiritually. And I just appreciate her in so many ways. I actually broke up with a girl before I started dating Becky. I only dated two, maybe three girls altogether. And this one I broke up with before Becky was the most serious relationship I had. And I broke up with her because I wasn't sure if she could live on a pastor's salary. I just knew with Becky, here's a woman who loves the Lord. She loves God's people. She loves me, and she doesn't love money. And that really helped me. And she's been a huge encouragement to me as a pastor. A great mom, helps me be a better dad and engage with my kids more. And so if you want to be a pastor, you need either to stay single or marry a woman who really wants you to be a pastor. And that's where I landed.
Yeah, parents and spouse then are really important, aren't they, Pastor?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned also there was a mission trip you went on. I think around 21 years of age, something like that. Tell us a little bit how that impacted you.
It had such an impact that I would say to everybody, you should go, particularly to a third world country, some point in your life, and don't stay at a resort. You know, like, be with the people. And so, yeah, I was 21, and we went to the Philippines and met people. Like, I met a man, and what's your name? Pastor Resurrection. Like, what kind of name is that? Well, he was a child during World War II and lived up in Baguio, which is a northern kind of elevated part of the Philippines where it was a lot cooler. And the Japanese liked the climate there. And so they made that their base during World War II. Persecuted were just so wicked to the people. And so this man, Pastor Resurrection, and his mom decided to flee with a group of people down into the lowlands, into the jungle, where it was hotter, where the Japanese didn't like to go as much during the war. And they were caught, about 100 people altogether, caught trying to leave the city. And they lined them up, didn't bother to waste bullets on them, and bayoneted them all into shallow graves. And Pastor Resurrection was about, I don't know, 10 or 12 years old. And somehow, in stabbing him, they didn't kill him. And he woke up, and the moon was above him. It was night. And he somehow, you know, found some fruit on the ground that helped give him, and then found his way down, and some people that nursed him back to health. But he swore there had been missionaries there that had told them the gospel about Jesus, how he died for them, and how he wants to be their Lord. And he had rejected that, but he had taken a little New Testament Bible. And when he woke up after passing out from blood loss and being stabbed, he made a promise to God: if you save my life, I will give my life to you. And from that day forward, he took on the name Resurrection. And so Pastor Resurrection, when I met him, this would have been 32 years ago, he was an old pastor, still being faithful to the Lord. And it was just amazing to meet him, to hear his story, and to see he wasn't alone. Like so many people in the church there, hard things that we'd never experienced in the United States, and that they were faithful to the Lord. One other story, really, I will never forget. We went out on Sunday to different churches, so we all kind of split up. The reason we were there was to teach at a youth seminar, and honestly, I learned more from the people there than anything I taught, but we went to different churches, and the church I went to was in a mining town, and it was just this little church, and you used to have to take a ladder up to where this church was on the side of a cliff, but they had kind of carved in steps that were like 2 feet each step. I mean, it was quite difficult to get to the church, and the people there, they were sharing, like, this wasn't the place we wanted to build our church. But the mining, you know, company that owns all the housing we live in, which was terribly poor, you know, you'd have a family of seven or eight in pretty much one room, sharing a kitchen and bathroom with, you know, five other families. And it was just different than the United States. But they said the mining company wouldn't sell us the land over there that we, you know, on the other hillside that was flatter and not as steep and that we wanted. They gave us this land, which was terrible. But they said, look at the other side of the hill where we wanted to build. And there had been a volcano that had exploded earlier in the country farther south, and major earthquakes, and the whole side of that mountain had come down. And they said, if we had built over there, we would have lost everything. Hmm. And so we praise God that God knows better than us. And even though he may give us what we think is poor, we can trust him. And the biggest thing I came away with from visiting those believers in the Philippines was their contentment and their gratitude with almost nothing. And it just marked me financially. 3 years later, I couldn't fit everything in my car, everything I owned in my car. And I just wept because I thought, I'm becoming like all those other materialistic Americans. I don't want to be that. I want to be like the Filipinos, who it doesn't matter what you have if you have Jesus. And it was one of the best things that could happen in my life, to see believers in a different place, live in a different way, and to see through some of the cultural baggage and junk that we have in America that we don't really even need.
Yeah, you know, Pastor, live in a generation now, it's not true just in America, but there's a huge shortage of pastors. I saw a survey the other day that was totally unofficial. And somebody, I think it was on Facebook or one of the networks, said, if you know of a church without a pastor listed, it went on, it went on, it went on, it went on. And the fact is, God is calling people to the pastorate, but I think materialism stands in the way of so many people. And I love the story you just told about your wife, and you felt that that would not be an issue with her. That's the way it was with my wife. I think that we as a society need to pray that God begins to do a work in people's hearts about the ministry, because it is a call. And you ought not get into it unless it's a call. But if there's a call that's there, you're consumed with it. And what I said earlier on, I see that in you. I don't know your team that well, but I see that in you, and I'm sure your team members are there, that there is just a real excitement about serving the Lord. I was at a church not long ago. When I drove up to speak, I got out of the car, and there's somebody there to greet me. They were so happy. They took me to the outside building, and they said, they'll take care of you. And then somebody gave me a church bulletin and said, can we help you? There's the restroom. You want a coffee? And I went up to the door. Nobody knows I'm the speaker yet. And I go up to the door, and they finally introduced me to the pastor. But I thought to myself, if I was a guest there, I'd really want to come back. They're excited about Jesus here. Pastor Bob, we have other questions we want to talk about with this, maybe in our next broadcast. Let's expand this just a little bit, because we're totally out of time. And maybe we can talk more about how the Lord led you. Things like, you left a very solid church in your community to go be a part of the Bridgewater ministry, and talk about evangelism and discipleship in your church. I think those would be good things. So perhaps in the next broadcast, which will be in about a month, let's talk about those things and add to that. You've been listening to Life Change Weekend, and thank you so much for listening in. This is Dina Bedrow chatting with you, and we've had on Pastor Bob Kadlicek from Bridgewater Ministries in Montrose, and with several locations that they have. Don't forget, Monday through Friday, our Bible study, as we continue to go through the Word of God together. And on Fridays, we have guest speakers now that come in to help us with the Friday program, all part of our foundation. We're delighted to have them with us and share the ministry. God bless you. Have a blessed and wonderful day.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of Indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.